Hi, I'm Cindy Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Talking bollocks with FBT Gyms. Unleash your potential at FBT Gyms, where strength meets community. FBTGyms.ie.
Go loud. Sounds better with us.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in the snow. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and low. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Episode 208 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud and proudly supported by FBT Gyms.
Roy Calvin, tell me, this Hurlox thing that you're up to, what is it?
It's a new fitness and endurance competition. You run for a kilometre, followed by a workout like a sled push, then you run again, and you do that eight times over with eight different exercises, and the fastest time wins.
I thought you didn't even like running anymore. You threw away your shoes the last time I seen you doing a race.
And it's good crack if you have the right team around you, like the amazing coaches at FBT Gyms, who are officially Hyrox affiliated and deliver brilliant Hyrox classes. I wasn't too sure about committing at first, but they built me up for a lot of hard work and it'll pay off on the day.
So anyone can do it if they join FBT Gym?
Anyone. Unleash your potential at FBT Gym for only €44 per month with no contract and full class access.
They have locations in Swords, Coolock, Drogheda and the newest opening in Tallaght.
Sign up today at fbtgyms.ie.
It's me, COB.
It's me, Tardy Flower.
And we can't say too much right now, but we've something massive in the works. Something bleeding huge, so watch this space.
Today we're joined by...
Justine Stafford.
You thought about that. Could have been any Justine.
Was like, yeah. There was never that many growing up, so I never think to say my second name.
Get the app out early.
We'll just kick her off early.
Oh, yeah, because my dad is Justin, so that's where it came from.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, but like growing up, it was, you know, Christine, Joanne, Justin, I got a lot. And there was an old fella at a funeral who thought my name was G-String.
Oh,
yeah. G-String.
G-String, he thought. And I was like, who would name their child that? I want to know.
I've seen questionable ones over the years. Yeah. Questionable now. G-String is getting close. We're getting close to the dodgy name.
French, is it? But I did have a lot, over the years. Because then, I'm from a very rural part of Meath, that would not be a name you would have heard at all growing up.
Right. When you say a very rural part of Meath, what?
It was just outside Nobber. It's a little tiny place. Yeah, exactly.
Is that spelled with a silent K at the start? Or does it start for an N?
N-O-B-B-E-R. Okay. And it's right beside a place called Muff Crescent. Which
that's
not,
yeah, winding us up now.
No, it's glorious.
Joke. Yeah,
wow. Genuinely glorious.
This is a part you stand up routine to get it.
But like, as in, you could have never been depressed, I was. But you tried not to be because... Your post had come and it'd have Nobber on it. You're like, how can I be sad? Yeah. Things are looking up.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear you on that, yeah.
Term affecting and what have you. Right.
Go on.
So, Justine.
Yeah?
We won't say what year you are.
Yeah.
You told us off.
I told you that.
How many other Justines do you reckon there are in Ireland born?
Let me guess, because I have it.
Oh my God.
I know how many there was.
Okay. How do you know?
Just, I have that feeling. Did I get that?
He keeps track of all of you.
Okay, I love this.
I know this.
He has us all chipped and tagged.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
11.
I was going to say a number that low as well. Let me think. Per county here. Okay, I'll go a bit higher. So I'll say...
I'm going to throw a curveball at you.
Oh?
It was ranked 350th in baby girl names that year.
I have it now. Sorry.
Good God. Okay. Jesus, right. I'm going to say...
I love how hard you're thinking about
it. It means a lot. Yeah, this is, it's all to play for. 38.
Let me kind of change my guess. I'm going to go 7.
I thought you said you knew her. You're like, I have a feeling.
The court ball came in. Sorry.
Okay.
I was buffering.
It's 7.
You're joking me.
It's 7. It's 7.
I'm delighted.
That is the most insane talent.
Like that.
That is incredible.
Yeah, that's brilliant, that.
Do you know what? He wasn't a million miles away from his first guess.
That's wild. 11. Change it.
The court ball came in and I said, yeah, that's 7.
That's outstanding. But yeah, so oh my God, that's so interesting to me.
So there's only 6 other Justines born in Ireland
to meet
that year.
I want to have a group. Yeah.
Yeah, Shane said that good. Me and all the Tardenses should do that. But yeah. there was 31 of us.
You would have had 31.
Yeah, you didn't sell out Vicar Street where all the Tardenses were.
I would.
Get them all in. Get them
and
all
how many deep. Are for Calvin?
Oh, I can't even remember. We can look up really quick. It only takes 2 seconds.
The Calvin.
I would have thought Terence would have been higher. Just sorry, I'm so fascinated by this. I would have thought there would have. I don't know. Terence is more like I would have known Terence's in my secondary school. There would have been a few.
There you go.
What is that?
Yeah.
I never met any. Look, I met a few Elflers that were 30, but they were obviously Tardens.
Yeah.
And I met a few of them over the years, but I never met another person around my age called that. Until later in life.
I was born in 93.
Okay.
And there were 15 Calvins that year.
Jeez.
That lower higher than you expected.
Again, that makes more sense than I really think Terence would have been higher. Don't know why.
Than Calvin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why, there must be loads down the country.
There is, because then there'd all be Terry's.
Yeah, yeah. Because I know there's a few Terry's. In Waterford, didn't
there? Yeah. Not Terence Powers.
Yeah.
Terence Powers. That's more specific. It's the highest concentration of Terence Powers in Ireland is in Waterford.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, if you go back in time for my birthday, and I only found this out because someone DM'd me once when I put up that it was my birthday. They're like, do you realize you were conceived on April Fool's Day? Your life is a joke. And I was like, oh my God, that's perfect.
There you go.
That makes so much sense for the
things are looking up.
And you could have been the first Justine that year as well.
Oh my God.
You could have been now. There's a chance you might not be. There's a slight chance you might not
Tiny
be. You could
chance.
Have
been. A slight chance.
It's I'm second
like
of January.
50 chance.
Second of January. I can't see. How, if there is, wow. But
did I say 50-50? It's well lower.
50-50. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's blown my mind, lads. You've no idea.
Can you look her up? This one.
Yeah.
We're going to do this with every
guest. Yeah.
Like Micheál Martin. They'll come in and be like, Micheál, what year were you born?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It doesn't go back that far. You weren't taking records back then.
But that is such a talent. I want to see every episode now, your guest for everyone.
That's the very first time. We've only done it twice.
We've done it twice.
And you got it right twice.
Oh, we said 34 for Tardance and it was 31. Wasn't bad.
How did we even get into it with Shane?
He was slagging me name, wasn't he?
Yeah, actually he did. Yeah. Terence goes to go to the toilet and Shane goes to me, Calm, what's his real name? Yeah. I was like, it's Terence. I didn't realise he was so concerned about it.
But then he said he thought it was cool. Me and Justine were chatting because you were late again.
Sound, yeah.
I like to hang out the room, he's late. But anyways, yeah, he was late, wasn't he? But me and
look
Justine
at traffic,
were...
I get it. Traffic is a nightmare.
Traffic is a nightmare.
Yeah.
We were chatting and I want to know all about your 24th birthday.
Oh, yeah. I was...
Because I had to tell her to stop talking and I had to go out and take a minute to myself.
One of those, yeah.
Where is this going?
I never had a 30th, but when I did my 21st, I really wanted to recreate it and I just never did because the 2nd of January is the grimmest day ever to be born. Yeah. Because 1st of January, even, people still might be on a rollover from the night before. 2nd of January is when people are like, I'm doing the New Year's resolution, I'm not going out, I have no money left as well from Christmas.
Yeah.
But for my 21st, I organised it all myself because I was a bit of a loser. But I had like in the local pub and I had a piñata filled with Johnny's. So that was a great little party game for people to play with. And then I made my own birthday cake because I don't want anyone to be disappointed. So I had one layer of a chocolate biscuit cake and then I had made a Victoria sponge on top. I was obsessed with making cakes growing up because I was a very big child. So I was eating them as well. Yeah, I was. No, truly. But then I'd like iced it all as like Father Ted. There's cocaine in it from Father Ted. And then I gave out awards at my birthday.
Party on! I left the scene because I wanted to hear it.
So it was just me giving out awards to all my friends, like for different, in jokes and stuff over the years. And I'd like gotten them all little trophies and put their name on them. And people were very confused as to be like, I thought it's her birthday. Why is she giving out awards to everyone? Which was, probably a question I should have asked myself. And then I got fortune cookies made, like custom ones, where it just said you're a bollocks inside it, and you're going to shift some in your regret tonight.
Right. So it's that's not anywhere near as strength as I thought it was going to be.
It's actually very good.
Okay. Yeah. No, I like the banner.
You should have done that every year.
I should have. But how could I top that? Because when it came to my 30th, then I was like, I'm not going to be able to.
Yeah, but you could have like, and this year's winner of my birthday award for whole of the year is
Leading
Lisa.
Yeah.
And then, like, look, Mary, maybe keep squatting and this could be you next year.
Yeah. Do you remember those awards? Did you do them for the
Rear of the Year?
Rear of the Year.
No, we used to do them in college.
Oh, in college, yeah. We had them for the devs. We didn't have Rear of the Year. That's only a recent one that came in. But we had, like, ones of, like, wild, like, most first person who's going to have a baby. Like, things that you were, like, wild things. And the teachers are all there being like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah. You're like, what the hell is going on?
Most likely to do this. Most I was at one devs, but it was, I didn't go to the school. I went with someone.
So, oh,
like,
right, okay.
Everyone's like, oh, this is gas. And I'm like, oh, sorry, it is, Like, so I didn't get the joke. You know what I mean? People are like, most likely to end up in prison. And it's like, oh, it turns off. And everyone's laughing and all. I'm like, oh, is that funny?
You know what I mean? Them,
I'm not in on the joke.
Did you go to your own debs, though?
No, we didn't have one.
What?
I don't know what happened there, Yeah. Well, I actually went to plan that. We went. I don't know. I'm looking
That's
at
why it didn't happen. You were on the debs committee. It didn't happen.
I was like, what's he looking at me for?
We went
to go to school.
I remember that, actually. We went to the Osprey Hotel. Is that the one, the big huge one that's in Kildare, is it? Is it the Osprey?
Jesus, I don't know. Mm.
Yeah, we went. I remember a fella, like, they were a Debs planning company.
Yeah.
And he collected me and a few of the lads out in my class, brought us down, showed us the venue and all. And I don't know what happened after that, but we never had a Debs. We just got a spin.
Oh,
was
good
it.
Lord. Yeah, no, I was on the Debs committee, obviously, because, you know, you saw my 21st. So I was such a loser, though. I was like the biggest nerd in school. Like, I didn't drink till I was 18 because I was convinced I'd kill brain cells. And I wanted to do the best leaving cert because I was an absolute loser.
And how did you do?
I got 560.
Give me that. What's that mean?
What's that mean? The most you can get is 600.
Yeah, you feel blinds there, don't you? Feel blinds.
Oh, well, they're long gone. They're long gone. And it was always the thing.
Is it 620 you can get if you don't want
to? I think it's now. So back then it was 600. It's all changed now. I don't understand. They're all getting H's now.
H1s and
what
all
the hell is that about?
Yeah.
And you're getting, not like, that everyone passes now.
Yeah, after COVID, you were like,
It was like, do you remember the year they gave back, was it the 80s or 70s, where they just started sending driving licenses to people in the country?
Yeah.
I have a grandaunt who has a driver's license she should not be driving. Yeah. And it's just like, it was sent out to her in the post. Wild. That's the way the leaving cert has gone now.
Yeah, it is.
You just get it, you're like, grand, off you go.
Yeah. Your cunt's fucking grinding the way through 4th, 5th and 6th year, doing after school classes and what have you. To go on and study fucking medicine, cure cancer. And not losing out to some fella who should be in FOSS. You know what I mean?
But then I went and did film and broadcasting and DIT. So my parents were very much like, you're wasting your leaving, sir. Would you not be a teacher? And they still, like, you could tell them I was out in New York doing gigs and I'd come home and tell them I was in a hotel. They all paid for all this. And they'd still be like, would you not be a teacher? And you could do your little videos in the summer. I'm like, oh my God. No, it's coming from a good place. They mean well.
I think it's a very common correlation with comedy, though, that I've noticed with guests on the podcast who are comedians. It's like, no matter what they do in comedy, they go home, their parents aren't happy with them.
Yeah, it's not really
No, not possible. My father, like, I'd say, this time last year, I was driving with him and he just leaned over to me. He's like, have you heard of these things called podcasts?
No way.
And he's like, is that something you could get into? I'm like, Dad, I have one. I'm like, but I like that. I don't like that my parents are on social media. That would ruin me. I'd be crippled now if that was the case, because they would be seeing things I wouldn't want them to see as well. You know, like just going out and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
really?
Dirty jokes. I wouldn't like my parents. They'd not like to see me that way anyway.
Do you have a real, like, traditional old school family?
Well, my dad's a dairy farmer. So, much. So social media wouldn't really be his thing, which is for the best.
Yeah.
I couldn't hack now. And again, because they'd get sad if you see, like, troll comments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That'd get to them.
Yeah.
You know, that'd upset them. There's one guy I've had for a long time. And it's kind of, I love it now, to be honest. There's this guy who writes on my page, just comes back every so often and with the exact same comment going, still no tits. As if he's waiting for them to come in. I'm like, mate, puberty's happened. It wasn't a good time for me. You're waiting for nothing here. But I love it. It's the still that kills me. It's still no tits. When is she going to get them in? I love it.
Yeah, it's strange that when my mother's ring me, like, some fake account will comment something really negative on a random post. Yeah. My mother ring me like, who's that commenting that? I'm like, I don't know, ma.
Yeah.
And I don't care either. But I can imagine, like, a traditional Irish family seeing a comic like that, they'd be like, you better pack down and delete social media.
Completely, yeah. But is your mother going in being like defensive? Or is she being
my
like,
ma's a mad joke. My ma's like, get her address.
I love that.
And I'll get the whole of you.
Love that. Yeah, get unhinged. We love to see it.
Yeah.
Some, but like, it's always people that don't have a profile picture on their page anyway. And you're I'm hardly going to take this seriously. Like, it's not even a real name or anything like that. And you're like, what is the point? But you just have to find... It just depends. Like, there's days, like, I truly love that lad because it's so funny.
But, like,
I was going to say, why haven't you blocked him? So you actually are getting enjoyment out of that.
Yeah.
Well, it's just someone then DM me after has been like, I know that guy comments on a lot of people's stuff negatively. So, like, don't feel bad about it. I'm like, I think it's funny. Like,
it's a running joke now at this stage.
I don't know what he's waiting for because it's not going to happen. You know, I had to accept that just puberty didn't fare out well for me.
It could be a bit of a sketch in that, you know, if you'd done a bombardment, did a screenshot of his comment. And then, like,
I wrote a song about it. I did. I performed it live because I wrote with a load of different comments that he'd sent. And it was great, therapeutic, really. But it is like, it's just, I don't have, you know, chest. And that's fine. And I've accepted that. But like, I just can't go into coffee shops, really, because when I hear flat white, I think it's a slur.
Sound.
It's pretty much stopped me now. But it's fine. I'm fine with it.
Okay. I see what you did there. That was clever. It's clever.
Something popped into my head on the way in because I was trying to figure out what number we were on. And I was trying to put together like all the iconic numbers and milestones and if you could toy with guests and what have you. And we haven't done that.
Ever?
Yeah, we've never
like episode 180 should have been Luke Littler.
Yeah, or some dart player or something like that. We've never done that.
Right.
But 212 is coming up. And I think we should really throw the kitchen sink at getting Azealia Banks on.
Yeah.
Why?
Her song.
The 212. I was in the 212.
That's Azealia Banks.
Yeah, and she hates Irish people.
Yeah, so that would be an interesting one. Yeah. Yes.
Why does she hate Irish people?
I've no idea. She hates us though.
Was
she got filled off the stage and all.
Justine has the info. Come on, fellas.
The flight was delayed or something coming into Dublin and then ended up delayed for a gig and then just turned on Ireland. It was their fault.
Yeah. She was like an ugly bunch of people. But she's on stage in the Olympia giving it loud to people at Beona and all. I was like, just sing the song. Like, yous are all ugly.
They paid the gold.
And her Twitter was...
Oh, she only did it that night.
Yeah, she had a bad day and just took her out on the whole nation.
Yeah.
But like, she still hates, like, she only put up a thing the other day, she still hates Aer Lingus. Someone said something to her, she still hates Aer Lingus.
I think someone did a poll, or not a poll, but they did like a full-out document on all the people she has beef with. And it's like, Aer Lingus is one of them, Ireland is one of them, like it's a lot of them celebrities, but it's an insanely long list of just people that she has called out on Twitter.
Yeah, like, and so, the neck of her, like, she's one song. You know what I mean? It sounds like very relevant.
Yeah, but I even...
This is a great setup for getting her on your podcast, by the way. She'll love if she tunes into, like...
Just to have a Barney, though.
Yeah, and then sing the song. It's a great song.
It's a banger. It is.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like Samantha Mumba. You'd be like, Donald Skeen, I get it. Yeah, call him out. Do all this shit, But it's like, you have one song. The neck of you to hate a nation of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a banger, though, isn't it?
What's
your man? Somebody that we used to know.
Yeah,
Why have him up there?
But he was dead right. Get in, get out. You know, he didn't hang about to do a career.
Yeah.
Get the money out the door.
Did he do one concert?
I don't know if he did.
I'd say there's a serious amount of streams on that song.
Oh, you got to feel sound.
And a lot of people have covered it as well. I think that's the right way to go. But it's the whole Elton John and Bernie, his songwriter. Like, Bernie Topper, is that his surname? I think I'm pronouncing it right. He writes all the lyrics. But he gets half the royalties for every song he's written for Elton John. Elton John is the singer and plays the piano, but the lyrics are all from Bernie. And he gets to keep the life of, like, I'm not in the public eye. He could walk down the street.
For a coffee.
I think that's class.
I've seen Dolly Parton's husband do it.
Yeah.
And like, they're married 60 years, no one knew who he was.
Yeah.
And what?
Yeah, no one knew who he was.
Yeah,
he wasn't on social media.
But in the days of no social media, weren't they?
But I mean, like, it's Dolly Parton.
Years. Yeah. Even though you wouldn't have known who he was. I didn't even know she was married, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
When I saw
how
the club,
old is
I was
she
like,
now?
80 odd.
Yeah, so like in recent years, she's not really paparazzi looking for a husband, is there?
We're all about all the like award ceremonies throughout the years that she's been to.
Yeah.
No one knows who he is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's impressive.
Yeah, I like that. There's something in that because it was a Bill Murray, I think, once said he was like, you know, if you could go back, the fame he wish he didn't have. He'd love to do acting and have the career from it and the money, but he's like, fame is not something I
That's why I can't understand when people crave fame.
Because
I would hate to be at the level that you can't just walk
no.
the road.
Yeah.
No, that's horrific. And like having people knowing where you are and like waiting outside your hotel constantly,
But it's prison.
Yeah. Oh,
it's just like prison.
Yeah.
Like,
you have no privacy at all.
No.
Yeah.
is like, even, you know, when you're out in Dublin, like the odd time it would happen, the people would know you, and it's always lovely. But my fear, I'm always in the back of my head, like, God, what if someone now is recording me from afar or something? And I'm like, I've had a few drinks or something, nothing wild, but I'm just like, that puts me on edge sometimes, depending on where you are. Or like, you see someone, if you're on a train and someone you know knows you, but they're looking at you and you're like, oh God, what are they going to come over and say hello and be lovely? Or is this weird and I don't know what's going to happen? It puts you on edge sometimes.
Yeah, I've had the same encounter numerous times where someone would recognise you and they'd come over and like they'd say hello and you say, oh, how are you? And then they freeze.
Yeah.
And they don't talk. Then I'm just doing all the talking. Yeah. It's like I'm doing a podcast with them. I'm like, oh, yeah, so how many kids have you got? I'm like panicking, like, do you get me?
No, because I was talking to a few other comedians about this and like they're very much like, I just don't, like, as in, hello and goodbye. Whereas I'm like, God, I feel bad now. I want to be lovely. And I'm like, but it takes out you.
Yeah.
Doing that constantly, if you are, not that it happens to me constantly, but
where's like, the strangest place that's happened to you?
In Disneyland in Orlando, Florida. And I was like, fucking Mickey Mouse is over there. What are you doing talking to me? But like they were, and Americans, like, it was wild.
Ah, that's deadly though.
Yeah. No, it I'm like, you know, obviously 9 out of 10, it's lovely, the encounter as well, and they're the loveliest people and so supportive, you know, but that was wild. Especially because you like think in America, I've been to London a few times as well and people have recognised me. That's wild to me even.
Yeah, same with us. It's happened to me in Liverpool lots of, but I was saying, I was in Turkey last year and this fucked me up. I come onto the podcast and I'll talk about it. I was in Turkey and like loads of Turkish people who owned the shops and all were coming out and like they've complete broken English, like, and they're like, oh, podcast, we love the podcast. I was like, what the fuck? They're showing me on the phone, like, they listen to every episode.
Oh, my God.
I was like, how is the Turkish people listening to the podcast? Like,
yeah.
And we're struggling to have a conversation, like, because there's, like, a language barrier, like. But they're listening. I'm like, that is the maddest. And, like, some of them have been to live shows. Like,
oh, my God.
I thought you were fake pages. And then you realise, no, these are real people that just have Turkish names.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
Mental.
But I wonder, is there a way, are they getting, like, can you get live, like, podcasts translated in real time? I wonder, are they listening to it, or are they getting...
No, remember someone reached out, they were from Croatia, and they said they were recommended to listen to the podcast to learn English. And I was like,
oh,
what?
Oh my
they
God.
The worst spot.
That is incredible. Oh no, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's such a compliment to get. Yeah. For using you to learn English. That's great.
A friend of mine's over in...
She's not hearing me earlier. I was like, Darden.
No, I can't. I was live on the radio and
here we go,
doing a segment about geography pieces, and I went on, I was talking about Nicaragua and they were like, where is Nicaragua? It sounds like it's a fucking roundabout in Tipperary. It's Nicaragua.
Oh,
I pronounced it as Nicaragua.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah.
Oh, horrific.
No, it's bad.
And especially, I wish this was when I was like 12. No, this was like a year ago. It's horrific.
It's worse because of the amount of points you got in your leaving to.
Yeah, no, this is the thing. That all went out the window.
You could be the smartest person that's ever sat here.
You see, I don't think Leaving Cert is an accurate portrayal of intelligence. It's a glorified memory test. I am not an intelligent person.
Ah, no, that's harsh.
Hands down, I am not.
I think you have to be in comedy.
Oh, well, yeah.
You have to be witty. You have to be. You are witty. I know from just talking to you already. You have to be witty. You have to be sharp.
Yeah.
You have to be able to write your
stuff.
You have to be intelligent to be in comedy.
God, I'm not the most, without a shadow of a doubt, I am not.
I don't think I've ever met someone who got that many points in the Leaving Cert.
I was quite a weird child. I used to, well, because I was very big, I used to wear a lot of hoodies, but then I used to wear waistcoats over hoodies as a way. That's just attracting you back. Like the hoodie was to like distract from the fact I was a heavy child, and then I'd wear the waistcoat over it as if reminding people, no, the shape is there. I wasn't all there. I wasn't. There was a lot going on.
But even as, regardless of your body shape.
It was a cry
shape,
for help.
Yeah, regardless of your body shape, as a fashion choice, that's a weird one. A hoodie with a waistcoat over it.
Yeah. But I wore a waistcoat over jerseys. I wore a waistcoat over everything. But I was ahead of the time. They're all in now.
Waistcoats over jerseys are in, are they?
No. That will never be in. It never should. I remember Googling recently, has that ever been done? And I could not find any.
You were the only one.
Yeah.
You're a trendsetter. Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far now. Well, but waistcoats are back.
No, she's still jumpstarting it.
Still,
Give it another couple of revs there. You might need to get someone to start pushing it, but you'll get there.
Yeah. Get a few. I'll get the other six Justines. Get them behind me. We'll all be in the waistcoat.
So you said you're not smart.
Yeah.
You're only doing, well, I know you didn't only do it, but it's only to earn. You done that thing where
Dara from The Chase.
I did. And that was an eye-opener to me. Like, I do not know anything about anything because he is a walking Wikipedia page. It was incredible. Like, he knows facts about everything. There was one time we were traveling in a car and I was like, does anyone want a Haribo? He's like, I'll tell you two facts about Haribo. I'm like, oh my God. It was wild.
But he told good facts. You probably don't even remember them.
It's about the Harry. It was like broken down that the Haribo is formed from two, I think it was brothers, different names. And IKEA is the same. That the start of IKEA and the end are the start of two brothers' names.
Oh, really. I thought you were going to say, like, that was just their names. It was like, Oi and Kia. I was like, what?
Oh, right.
Yeah, so, Kamea, do you think he's intelligent?
Yeah, absolutely.
Does he not just have a great memory as well, then? If you think about it.
Maybe, yeah.
Because all he's doing is remembering information. He's not actually applying it.
Yeah, God, no, that's...
See, you go, with it.
That's opening my mind now. Yeah.
I'll tell you who I know who's really intelligent. Neil Delamere.
Neil Delamere.
Oh, unbelievable.
He could be the smartest man in the world.
Yeah.
But it blows my mind, comedians actually particularly, you meet people that they're like, they have such a wealth of knowledge about things that I'm like, my God. But they do have to, if they're, you know, if you're touring and going to a place, you want to learn facts about that place. So when someone references an area that you have some info on it to know, oh, what's the dynamic here? What do locals think about that place? And all that crack. Yeah. It's savage.
It's like any time we've ever spoken, Neil, it doesn't matter where the conversation goes, like whether you're talking about runners or geography or
Nicaragua or wherever.
He just has a joke waiting on you.
Yeah.
And a fact waiting on you. And you're just like, that's mental.
Yeah. No.
Can I go to the toilet? Sorry, I'm boss.
This is class that you can do that. When I did the podcast with Kevin, I'm never allowed.
Why?
No.
Why?
Don't know. I'd never even think. I would be fine if I had to, I'd say. But never.
Are you still doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing the podcast. We're doing a live show now for Paddy's Day.
Where?
It's only small. It's only for the Paddy's Day Festival. It's in Bewley's. There's a theatre in Bewley's on Grafton Street.
Is that theatre on there?
Yeah, small. I think it's like 80 seater, if even. But we're probably going to do another show ourselves off the back of that. Just a little more.
So much of what we want to do can seem impossible, but the highest achievers among us are the people still reaching for something. The ones who aren't satisfied to stay where they are and want to keep climbing higher. It's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon reimagined through thoroughly modern design. It's got a tough, rigid body design and durable, lightweight monocoque architecture for extra strength. With precise detailing and compelling proportions, the exterior of the Defender is designed with integrity. This is a vehicle capable of great things, engineered to meet challenges head-on with an exterior that's been tested to the extreme. Experience the Defender's legendary capability off-road and on. And there's a family of vehicles for Defender. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. So, are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Where were we at there? Did we finish up on something?
Jeez.
They're brand new wear for us, are they?
They are. I like the ones that I like. I wish I was taller, so I always wear them.
Do you get the chunky runners?
That's chunky now. That's
it is.
Platform.
Right. I know you haven't listened to. Why'd you look at me like that?
I was like, God, do you know where we're going back to? Because I don't.
No, right. I haven't got a clue.
Love it.
I think we should have kept. I think we were having a good conversation. You left it.
Yeah, no, my whole point is like, I know for a fact, Dan, you're probably thinking, I'm like, can I go to the toilet? You're probably like, what sort of a hole does Goldout got in this? You're under contract, you have to ask to go to the toilet. No. What conversation were you having?
They're doing a live show. We're doing a live show.
Yeah.
When is it?
It's the 16th of March for the Paddy's Day Festival. So it's on the 16th, day before Paddy's. So Paddy's Day Eve. This'll get you warmed up.
Paddy's Day is on Monday this year, didn't it?
Yes.
Poxy.
Kevin was saying to me, I don't think that's true, that the festival, the actual parade is going to be on the 16th. I think that's fake news. I don't think that's true.
No, I think it's on, it has to be on the day.
It has to be.
The day, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bank holiday, so.
If Paddy's Day was on the Sunday, we get the Monday off.
Yeah.
But now it's just all on the one day, you don't get the next day off.
That's a lot of bollocks,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But
so what? How was that on again? How are we on that?
Because they're doing a show.
Oh, sorry, on the 16th.
On the
16th,
yeah.
I haven't got a great memory either, Michelle. I only got 20 points. Yeah. So what, the 16th is the live show?
Yeah, and it's in Bewley's Theatre. It's in Bewley's on Grafton Street. But it's with the Paddy's Day Festival. They asked us to come in and do a live show, and it's sold out.
Have you done many shows?
This is going to be our first one. We're popping the cherry now. Paddy's Day Eve, this will be our first.
So 34 show?
Yeah.
Are you nervous?
Live one. Not at all. I wouldn't be because Kevin, it's not the same. It's probably because there's two of us in it that I'm like, I mean, if one of us slack and the other will pick up, it'll be grand.
Yeah, that's always my thought.
Totally. Probably not the best logic to have, but it hasn't failed me yet. So.
Yeah, I'm the same.
He doesn't come across as a nervous fella either. Remember, he was like, I have a song to sing. You're like, all right, Kev, go ahead. And then just blast it out that song. I was like, whoa, mate. There's a big difference between like, I have a song, like I might walk, and that. That was fucking
chaos.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
And the content of it as well, what he was talking about, was like, mate, you don't even know us and you're singing about that in front of us.
Imagine I was a mad Catholic.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have been what was it? You have to say the verse that people know what we're on about. It's like,
he was talking about
Mary getting up on Joseph, is it?
He was talking about Mary having the baby Jesus and then Joseph saying, right, can I have a spin now? Yeah, can I go up on that? Yeah.
Yeah.
When am I going to grow up on that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
You listen to Kevin's episode. Yeah. So, do you know where the zinger is? Did we do a zinger on that episode?
Yeah, we did. Remember, Kevin was like, would you write Jim Corr?
Yes.
And I was like, no, you're all right, Kevin.
Yes, because then he was like,
I'm not that stuck.
They didn't know who the Corrs were. Yeah. Like, they were so young. And I was like, but I know who the Corrs are.
I don't think we're young. I think because we're not from the country.
I think because they're Dundalk.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it would have been a bigger reference point for people in the country, definitely. Yeah.
Do you remember last week in the bonus we were talking about what do cultures do that people in Dublin would find
listen
weird?
Listen to the course.
That as well.
Oh. Listen to the course, yeah.
I guarantee you grew up in a household. If you brought a boy home, he wasn't allowed to stay in the same bedroom as you.
Still, that would be the case.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a chance. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lord.
I forgot about that last week and it popped into my head when I left. So,
what, you're starting to live?
Oh, Lord.
That's yeah.
No.
I'm not allowed to sleep in Amy's bedroom when we get down to Wexford.
Liar.
All right. Why would I lie about that?
Are you not?
I'm not allowed, no.
But it depends as well, because like, I have friends at home now who they're engaged, so maybe that's changed things, but they're allowed to stay in the same room. And I tell my parents, I'm like, well, that's their house and their rules, but this is our house and our rules. So I just would never even bother bringing a fella back there anyway. I mean, my bedroom is still posters of Westlife and dogs on the walls. It's probably not a great setting for a romantic encounter, so. Yeah. And then, like, the idea of bringing them back all the way to Nobber, I'm like, what? There's nothing to do here. This is grim.
All the way to Nobber.
No, that's what he was going for you.
Yeah, that's his.
But I got to meet your friends who were engaged as well. They had to ask permission.
Oh, yeah.
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 I love how traditional they all are. They're all so predictable. And, like, when you call it out, they're all like, what, you wouldn't be doing it now? You wouldn't be asking permission? Like, no. Like, you want to get engaged, just get engaged.
Yeah. There's just things like that. It is funny, the differences. But I don't know. Like, there's definitely friends who, you know, wouldn't have had to do that in the country as well. But there is probably more of it.
Yeah, now they're ostracized from the parish. Yeah. You didn't ask permission to get engaged.
Mention their name.
You're not getting married here.
No.
Amy knows someone who got engaged that lives in Australia. Like, my partner's from Wexford. She knows someone who got engaged. They live in Australia. The boyfriend had to FaceTime the father-in-law that morning to see if it was okay. I was like, you were going to do it either way. Imagine he said no. Would you just not do it? You're on the other side of the planet. Hit the point of ring. Hit the planet out the thing or whatever. They made a big rigmarole. You know, we had it in a hotel. Balloons, petals,
oh,
William Martin.
And
that morning he FaceTimed the dad. I was like, it's all right.
Yeah.
I was like, what if he goes, no, I don't think he's going to last or whatever. He'd be like, yeah, scrap that hotel. I think we just should have stayed in our own
house
tonight.
That's not a culty thing though, is it? pass.
It's extremely culty though.
I think it definitely, but I don't know if it is. I think it might be a traditional thing. You'd probably
would you ask permission, 30?
Yeah,
I see. I'd still be Waterford. Like, but here's the thing. I don't think you'd ask unless you knew fairly confidently they were going to say yeah.
But what if they said you know? No? Like,
oh well, I'd be like, huh? Like, because I wouldn't be asking unless I was fairly confident that this was going on a while.
I'd ask. I think I'd make a statement of like, I'm gonna do this.
I'm letting you know.
Yes.
You're not going in.
Just give them the heads up.
You're giving the option to know. Then.
Quite a close year. Amy's friend got engaged like a couple of weeks before our birthday, and we were all going to Amy's ma's house for Amy's birthday, and the friend was coming, and it was the whole first time seeing the friend since she got engaged. So Amy brought like a congratulations on your engagement balloon. So we walk into the house before everyone gets there, and Amy's ma sitting there with Amy's sister-in-law, and she sees the balloon, and the sister-in-law joke and goes, oh, big news, because it says congratulations on the engagement. And her ma was sitting there, her face dropped to the floor in shock, and she just looked disgusted. Oh. And I was like, no, this is not for us, it's for a friend. And she was like,
Oh my God.
Well, like, it wouldn't have been the worst thing that happened. And I was like, well, at least I know where I stand. That was probably about 6 years ago, and still to this day I bring that up. I'm like, this is why we're not engaged. I know how you feel.
But how long were you going out at that point?
5 years.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not ideal. For the long haul.
Yeah.
Now, that's not the ideal reaction now you'd want at that point.
Yeah, so now, like, it's her own fault, and she's going to be listening to this.
But maybe she was like, ask me first.
Even at that, doesn't matter.
Oh, doesn't matter, Terry. Lord.
It's a nice one to keep throwing in love.
It's good. Yeah, I wonder why your daughter's the only one of your kids that's not engaged or married.
It'll be great in the speech. It'll be great in the speech.
I don't need to say in the speech. It's on the podcast now. This is it. It's written in stone. We were doing zingers, weren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, this is good. What cancelled Irish show would you bring back?
Okay. I mean, there's a few you can't really bring back. Like Father Ted would not be the same to bring back now, because
do you know what I was thinking about, Justin? Like, you'd be all over that.
I'd love that, obviously.
But like, you and Kevin and all that gang, you would be like littered over part of bed now.
That, Jesus, dream scenario. But it wouldn't be the same. There's shows that I wouldn't want to bring back purely because you're like, it wouldn't be the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So not Father Ted.
It's like when they brought back Banshee Bones. I don't know if they were as good. I'll say it now.
Bones. Yes, you have.
Banshee Bones?
Yes, you have.
Oh my God.
The Crips.
Oh, I thought it was a show.
Oh my God.
Just damn, wait to see the colour on my face when I'm done looking at the floor.
Can we clip that?
That's not clipping.
This is going on the wall in Vicar Street. I've never heard of Banshee Bones.
We're talking about cancelled shows. I was like, what's this Banshee Bones? It sounds good. It's a good name for a show, though.
I suppose. Some kind of horror-y type. Spooky show. Yeah. Yeah, but they weren't the same. So there's some shows that I'd be like, where are you bringing back? Because you're like, will it be as good?
I'm so glad you just milked off that bit.
She's good at that, isn't she?
See, when you snapped at me, they're like, yeah, you have. I was like, how's he know what I watched?
He doesn't know
you
my
don't
library.
Know me.
You don't know my Netflix history.
Yeah. Anyways, love, hey.
Yeah.
Fun fact about Love, Hey. The writer went to my primary school.
Stuart did.
Yeah. Stuart. From Nobber. Stuart Carron's from Nobber.
There you go.
Is he from Nobber?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like he's from Nobber.
Really?
Mm.
Well, yeah. When I go home to Nobber, like my accent, I had to learn to enunciate when I moved to Dublin because, like, you know, when I'm at home, like the jaw drops down and everything, you know. So I imagine Stuart, you know, he's lived in Dublin a long time. I think he might actually be in the UK now. Your accent, just so people could understand what I was saying, I had to learn to enunciate. Now, I still stumble over Nicaragua and a few like that. I thought lingerie was lingerie for far too long in my life.
Yeah,
it's pretty grim. Yeah. But
Jalapenos. Yeah.
No, I'd never do that one. But
not that bad.
Yeah. No. But there you go. There's a fun fact. Yeah. Carlin from Norway.
Could be a good guest for the podcast.
He seems like an elusive mystery figure. I don't think he has social media at all.
Yeah.
He just focuses. He's writing on The Gentleman now, that series on Netflix.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a writer on that.
I met him before and had a great chat with him.
Really?
Yeah. And I mean, like, he looked like a scumbag as well. He had a tracksuit on, an art-based jacket. I was like, who's your man? You're like, that's Stuart Callan who wrote Love Hate. I was like, is it now? He had a great chat. He's telling me all about an encounter with Vin Diesel. He knew someone that walked with Vin Diesel on the Fast and Furious films.
And he said that, like, they'd set up, you know, because there's a load of stunts and
all
the setup that would be to shoot one of them scenes. And you are ready to rock. Vin Diesel shows up 16 hours late. 16 hours late. They were due to start at like 8 in the morning. He came in at like midnight and then goes into his trailer, comes back. No, sorry. He didn't show up 16 hours late. They started 16 hours late because he showed up late.
Right.
He was due to start at 8. He showed up at, say, about 10 or 11. Goes into his trailer for an hour or two, comes out. He has an American football. And he says, has anyone got a pump for this? It's a bit deflated. They go get him a pump for the ball. And him and his mates were just throwing the American football around for a few hours.
At that point, you have to look at getting someone else in.
But Vin Diesel and the Fast and Furious, you can't make a film without him. Really. And the thing is, he says, he knows that. Mm. That's how much of a prick he is. That's, he knows that.
Be at that level.
Isn't it?
Like, I'd never, ever do that.
No, but that's like, but that's the thing is, he's like, you can't replace me.
No, I know, but like, even with that thought, you could never do that.
And I think there's people that would be at that level of him that would be the biggest sweethearts. Like, I don't think there's people that you know, he's aware of it and abuses it, where there's other celebrities that would never do that and are like, you'd see stories and I'm like saying, I met that person, they were absolute gem to work with, blah, blah, blah. I hate when people like that bring it down then for other people.
Yeah.
Be like, because oftentimes you'll find people that are divas are people that necessarily might not have even earned that.
They're only on the way up.
Yeah. A lot of time you'll find that and then you'll have something in your head to be like, that person's going to be an absolute diva. And then you meet them and they're like, oh my God, that person.
I know you have someone there.
No, I literally don't.
Just don't be afraid.
Not in the slightest, but that, you know, you meet them and you're like, you'd be warranted to have like a list of things. This must be in my dressing room on the crack and they don't have anything. And you're like, God, isn't that great?
Oh, I found out a fact, Terry. Remember I was talking about 50 Cent there a few weeks ago, saying that he showed up and left. So 50 Cent was paid to perform at the right venue, showed up and left.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just said I'm not the owner and he paid him and he left.
Turns out he wasn't paid to perform, he was paid to appear.
I remember that at the time. Yeah.
But he did disappear then and just bounced. He was like, I'm here and I'm gone.
Those were the days though. Do you remember when Phil Mitchell turned up to the Palace in Navan, the nightclub, for a meet and greet? The photo should be hung in a museum. It's him just stumbling out, confused, because he's in Navan. Of course he's confused. It's a mind of a place to, it's just a concrete jungle. It's so grim that those were things that people did. Who wants to queue up and meet Phil Mitchell from EastEnders?
Phil Mitchell is doing meet and greets.
This was years ago. This I'm talking, do you remember that time in history?
Even in his prime, Justine, you can't justify that.
He's relatively big.
Oh, he's a big deal. Yeah.
I'd probably go and meet him. Like, EastEnders is big. It is. I can understand why that is a demand, but I can't understand why he agreed to it.
Like, then, you know what I mean? Like, it's. That was a specific time in history in Irish culture, I feel, where like you'd have Bax, was that his name? Dax, whatever, from Home and Away. He'd be in the Foundry nightclub in Carlow for a meet and greet. They'd get all these Australian soap opera stars to come and do meet and greets down the country. And I don't know what the appeal was for them.
I'm very confused.
This was a... Yeah, well, yeah. I guess.
Getting a few quid.
Do you have to... Tell
the people. The actors. Yeah, of course.
But like, where were the nightclubs pulling this money from to do this? And was this really the selling point? Is it how much it took you to get people into a nightclub? I don't know. It might be time to look at a different business.
I just can't believe, like, Phil Mitchell in his heyday was huge.
Oh, yeah. He still is. Like, as in, he's still a big deal.
Is he still alive in EastEnders? Is he still going?
Couldn't tell you.
Do you know what?
I don't know where he's at though.
Yeah. You know the names, Jill. Someone said Phil Mitchell to you. You know
it's a bit disheartening. Yeah. Like, he's not even the most famous Mitchell brother because you don't even know his real name. You call him Phil Mitchell. Whereas
Stephen
you call the other one.
McFarlane. Is it Stephen?
I feel like
McFarlane?
That's.
No, it's Seth MacFarlane, who you're thinking I'm thinking of, but that's not who I'm thinking of. Stephen McPartland? Stephen McPartland, I want to say.
McFadden.
Fadden.
Ryan McFadden's cousin. So, whereas the other one's was Ross Kemp.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who Ross Kemp is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know that's Phil Mitchell's brother?
No.
That's why Ross Kemp is famous.
From EastEnders?
The two of them are the Mitchell brothers.
Oh, and there we go. It's like all the gangs
and
all.
Yeah, yeah.
What role had he gotten that? He wasn't an emotional little cunt.
No, he was the hard man.
Mitchell brothers were like the two tough guys.
Like the Krays.
They were going around taking money off people.
They're going around killing people. And then I think, he went on the run in EastEnders. And then he just went off doing them things. Like
shows,
South America.
So did he never die in it?
No, because he came back and forth a few times, didn't he? And he faked his death and all. I remember all that. He used to be big back in the day.
He's invested in it.
Yeah, but we grew up on that. Like, I remember you'd be watching EastEnders, you know what I mean? And something happened, and then they'd go, doof, 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 and that was it, it was over. You'd be fuming.
Yeah.
The Simpsons would come on then for a half an hour, and then Coronation Street would come on. And
yeah.
Totally. That was it.
That was...
That's a Monday night in the O'Brien's house growing up there.
So I was actually sad that I missed when he was in the Palace nightclub in Navan, but I just think it was a wild time in history. You don't remember this at all, but this was like a big thing that like... Nightclubs would have meet and greet nights.
Yeah.
And there was, do you remember that guy? It was like a meme. Was it on Bebo even? Where he's like, you have no mate. You know that guy who calls, he was like, oh, where's all mate. Your friends?
Oh, yeah. He made a fortune. He was in Ocean Beach and all.
He did, yeah, Navan nightclub as well. It was a meet and greet with him.
The Wilson Raider. Your man. With got no friends.
Yeah. That's the one. Yeah.
He made a fortune off
he
that.
He did meet and greets as well, all around Ireland.
So it can be anyone.
Yeah. You know where you get them pictures named with college nights?
Yes, they were the big...
Yeah. Like colleges would have a budget for putting on certain...
No, but I mean, like, in Dublin...
Did it all come from Geordie Shore.
That's what I was going to say. Well, have, but, like, they're, like, nightclub goers and they pull the boards.
Yes, that makes more sense to me than Phil Mitchell.
Phil Mitchell and your Pantau fans.
Well, he was in Ocean Beach. You don't remember the pictures of him? He was getting carried around like a fucking bottle of vodka.
On the bumper.
My God. Probably was. The Wilson Raider, yeah.
Oh my God. No, but I loved that was a cultural moment in Ireland. I don't know why it ever was, but it was.
The Phil Mitchell one.
Just that.
Will we bring it back?
Idea.
I think we should bring it back.
But like...
How much is Azealia Banks? Find out how we got her in. Find out how much she is.
Yeah, you're right though. It was college nights. I remember I went to DIT, but I'd always go down to Dundalk because a load of my friends went there. But they used to do a thing every year of, it was a mock wedding.
Yeah.
Where they'd have two people fake getting married.
Yeah.
From the college. And our then they'd have a reception and that was great crack.
Yeah.
How have you never brought that up on the podcast?
Where did you go to college?
NCI.
Oh, yes. Because I'll tell you after my friend says she knows you.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, I think she went to school with you. Did she say,
I know
very well.
We went to college together.
That's what she was saying. That's what I remember.
No, look, me and you went to college together,
We're related, essentially.
Yeah. cousin just then, yeah, so there you go, yeah.
Oh, sorry, I was just sitting back and letting you was bond here. Go on.
You're still thinking about fucking Banshee Bones over there.
Bill Mitchell and Banshee Bones, you're at the blow my mind today. I can't believe it. Yeah.
Your college got in a lot of trouble because they used to do like an orange stomach thing.
Oh, right.
Do you know what you ever do then?
Those challenges, I never did one, but
you know what I'm on about?
The events, they'd have them in, they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
So in the campus.
Yeah. In college, they do like certain weeks. So it's like Shag Week. Was that like Sexual Health?
Yeah, and Guidance
Sexual
Week.
Health Awareness.
Sexual Health and Guidance Week.
I think. And like every day there's an event on, they give out free condoms, blah, blah, blah. And then there was Rag Week.
Yeah. Raise a grand, I think it was for charity.
Yeah. So, and every day in that week, they do fundraising stuff. But there's all these different weeks, in the college. So a load of events on, a load of nights out. But I don't know what week it is. They do like an orange stomach and they get a load of people up on the stage and there's a prize, but like they give you mad shit to eat. I remember one year they gave tampons and they were dipped in red sauce.
Oh, jeez.
And they had fellas eating them and then they had mad shit, you know, like fucking mad spicy chicken wings, all this crap. But then...
There's no comparison.
No, but they give you mad shit. Like random
you just moved off. Like you went from like red sauce tampons to an actual field.
Yeah, but this is what they did. And then one year they gave the goldfishes and it was on Joe Duffy and all them.
No. Oh, stop.
Yeah, people were fucking drinking goldfishes and
God. Just when you mentioned tampons there, it was a grim time in my... No, it's not bad. Don't worry, it's not wild. But there used to be this myth
we
going
promote
around...
female hygiene on the podcast.
I'm delighted to hear. But I didn't want... I was like, I'm not going to tell you a wild story. but there used to be this myth back in the day when I was in college. Absolutely fake news. But it was that if you dipped tampons in alcohol... And then I got lost in the myth along the way. And I thought it was that then you put them under your arm and the alcohol gets soaked into your body quicker. So I dipped two tampons in vodka and put them under my armpits and went on a night out in college, clasped at my sides and did nothing, obviously. And I just looked like an absolute loser.
How long is that after Banshee Bones? Because that has to be worse. Yeah.
I was what you'd call a harmless, innocent child. And because I hadn't drank growing up, I clearly had no understanding of, you know, alcohol or how it works.
It's the same with
Goldschlager. Do you remember that myth, that whole thing of like, oh, if it goes down your throat,
cut your throat, then you get drunk quicker.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the tampons did nothing. I wouldn't recommend it.
You stayed sober.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. And single. Yeah. There wasn't anyone coming near me. Jesus. Yeah, but I had convinced three other friends to do it as well, so I wasn't alone.
Ah, well, you got away with it.
Yeah, just about. But
well, like, it's just that bit better than being on your own.
Entirely alone. Could have been worse for me. You know, things just, wild stories and myths that you'd hear.
Yeah, people
just
go to college now to get educated, don't
yes!
they?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I envy them. Yeah. I wish I'd done that. I wish I had done that. But I was just catching up for like, God, I didn't do it. And I was an absolute nerd like in school. I was such a nerd. So I was like, gosh, I moved to Dublin. So that was an experience in itself because, yeah, I was that kid who got onto Dublin bus with a 50 euro note looking for change. Like, as in, I had no life experience of anything. I'd never seen, I got a bank card for college and one of the girls was like, oh my God, that ATM is giving out tenners. And I was like, Jesus, just giving them out. She's like, no. See, even the fact you know that and that makes sense to you, I was like, what am I? And she was like, no, as in, like, if it'll give you a tenner as opposed to if you don't have a 20 euro note, I was like, all right, yeah. I had no.
Just give me a tenner.
Yeah, I was like, Dublin's great. Why didn't I come sooner? Absolutely embarrassing. But I needed that. It was the best, it was the makings of me going to live in Dublin.
When did you move to Dublin?
When I was 17.
Why?
To go to college.
Just for college?
Yeah.
Right.
But because I was so, like, my parents, this will tell you now how insane I am. My parents were very adamant of, like, supportive, absolutely. But they were like, would you know, you could have the best of both worlds here if you did teaching. So what I did after a year of media was that you could reapply in the CAO. And I had already done 1 year in DIT. But I reapplied on CAO and got accepted for primary school teaching in St. Pat's College. And you didn't have to pay your fees the 31st of October. Bit of a loophole. But I basically was registered in second year DIT, first year in St. Pat's. I went to two colleges at the one time up until the 31st of October just so I could try the teaching and see if it'd suit me. It absolutely did not. But like, I was going there and people were like, did you just finish Leaving Cert? I'm like, no, I'm just coming from a lecture there in DIT. And they're like, what is going on in your life? It was a wild time. I can't make decisions. That was.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. 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 But the teaching was, like, I mean, that was a full time course. I'd gotten used to us watching films for college. There was no way I was going back to that.
Yeah.
You know, it was tough. But the funny thing was, one of the lecturers, he was the voice from the tape. Do you remember the tape? Leonish Kokoromok.
Oh,
that fella.
Or the school pop era. Quidditch B.
Yeah. He was one of the lecturers. I was like, this is fame, celebrity here. Get him in the fucking Palace nightclub. I want to have a meet and greet with him. Never mind Phil Mitchell.
Phil Mitchell getting dragged in for it. No.
I don't have a bad word to say against Phil Mitchell. I think he's a lovely man.
He didn't even know
he's not on him.
But he's,
he's not on him. Fuck not Phil him. Mitchell. Yeah, yeah. So, like, I know you have your hands in so many places. You've done a bit of acting, you have the podcast, comedy. Mm-hmm. What's you getting into first?
Yeah, I started making films when I was 11 years old. We had like a thing in primary school because we were a very rural school. It was like to introduce technology. There was just like, it was the first year it happened, but it was a nationwide scheme to introduce filmmaking by Fiche. It was run through IADT College. So our primary school made a short film and then we ended up winning this like national competition. But I had filmed and edited it. And my teacher was like, his brother was a DOP. Works a lot on different, like, he worked on Game of Thrones and a few different things. But he saw the film and he was like, who shot this? And the teacher told him it was me. He's like, I think she has an eye for it. So after that, then my teacher told me about a youth film festival in Ireland. So off the back of that, I just started making my own short films. They're always comedy based, but I just love that. And it's entirely down to that I got into it in media. Like, if that teacher, I think back to it so much. If I hadn't had that support from that teacher, I never would have even thought of film as something. Because, like, very rural areas, like a camcorder was a, Jesus, this was wild to us to have, you know, like, we didn't have technology or things like that. Not saying that we were, like, you know, living in the dark ages, but, like, it just wouldn't have been something I would have ever thought about. It wouldn't have been something you'd see around you growing up. But off the back of that, it was always comedy. And you'd go to screenings, and when one of my films was shown, if people laughed at the joke on screen, that was the best feeling ever. Mm. And then I remember being at the final, this like national competition that was held down in Limerick. A film was being shown, and there was this really annoying laugh behind me. I was like, argh! And I was like, fuck, it was really distracting to the point my two friends were like, can you hear that? And I was like, yeah. And it kept happening. And I was like, people aren't going to understand my film because they're going to be so distracted. And I was like, I need to look around now and just give them a dirty look. And I looked around and it was Pat Short laughing at my film. my mind blown. Like, I was like, I can't, how do I top this, you know? So that was all good indicators of like, maybe I'm into something here. But that was then how I ended up going in to study film in college as well.
Mm.
But it was always comedy-based stuff that I was shooting.
What was the goal then, going to college?
That was a tricky one, because social media, the way things exist now, did not. And yeah. My parents' fear, as was every teacher in my school's fear, be like, there'll be no work in that. I hear awful things about the media and like freelance, and you'd never have a permanent job. That was the big fear with it. So I wasn't really sure what I wanted to get into, because I also acted in my short films as well. So it was like a mix of both doing the stuff behind the camera, but also having an interest in front of the camera. So I wasn't really sure. But then as I was in college, you know, social media started happening, Bebo, all that stuff. So when I left, I did an internship with FM 104 doing social media for them. And then through that, joe.ie saw stuff I'd made and offered me an internship. And then I got kept on as a full-time job with them. But it was doing all like bits of like video editing, shooting, making memes, Photoshop, all that stuff. Which when I started in college, wouldn't have even been a job option, because it just didn't exist at that point. It's wild how quickly things have progressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look back, like, you know.
And not to be a prick, but you could have went into that without the college course.
Oh, sorry. I'll say this right now. If I could go back in time, I wouldn't have bothered going to college, because when I look back now, everything I learned was entirely outside of the classroom. And the best experience, if you were trying to get into that line of work now, is to just go on set and, like, you know, offer work, volunteer there and get the experience that way. That will stand to you. But when I look back, like, I needed the college time for just life experience, to be in Dublin, to actually be independent and live and work and stuff like that. But in terms of getting into that line of work, your best bet is to go and volunteer on sets and get in through that way. Like, no one's ever looked at a degree off of me.
Yeah,
yeah.
You mentioned that comedy was like a theme for you, even in the short films and stuff. Where does the love for comedy come from? Do you even know?
Yeah, I actually have no clue. It was just growing up, I have one older brother, and we'd always just be like, when I got the camcorder, we'd just always be making homemade like game shows and like talk shows and making up characters. And I was just always, anything I watched on TV, because he was older, he was just like showing me Austin Powers and things like this that I was probably too young to understand. But that was like me getting into like loving that kind of thing. Yeah. And it was always the most appealing thing to me whenever I was making something that would be funny.
It was always just comedy that was.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like most comedians that we have in as well, they always say like, years ago, they'd be up late watching the comedy on the telly with them.
Yeah. Oh, like I remember, like Little Britain was a show that I really loved, which now, very problematic, a lot of aspects of it. But that was, I remember one of those things seeing, being like, this is really wild and funny. But different time. Wouldn't agree now with that statement.
But like, it was a time.
Yeah.
And we moved on. We don't do it anymore. You just move on. I hate when you get so hung up on it. It's like just leaving now.
That was a time.
Little Britain. I was just like, it was a sketch show, but like there was a few wild characters in it, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, I felt like it happened during COVID. Every comedian or writer was coming out apologising for stuff that they'd done 10 years ago. I'm like, no one's up for an apology up. What are you talking about? Just don't do the same thing again.
Yeah, learn, you know what from.
What's the man who wrote Beau Selecta?
Oh, yes.
He was coming out and apologising and all. You're like, mate, for fuck's sake, no one's even care. I think you're just trying to be relevant again. So everyone be like, oh, you did this thing, you apologise. What, you're up to now? And they're promoting something else. Your new book. And you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, they're old chestnut.
Yeah. But no, it was always comedy stuff that I was interested in. But like, I really love like film as well. I've, you know, we did the series recently, No Worries If Not, which was bloody amazing. But it was also interesting to do some bits that were a bit more serious. And obviously then it's, there's the shock reveal that's actually a funny piece or whatever. But like, even when I was doing, people have said to me like, geez, you could do more acting bits. And I've always wanted to, I'd love to do more serious stuff as well. But I think it's hard when you're in comedy, you kind of maybe get a bit put in that box as like,
typecasted kind.
Yes, in that way. But if you look at examples, there's so many comedians make fantastic actors. Like I remember seeing Pat Short in Garage years ago, really serious piece. Tommy Tiernan as well. There's so many in Ireland even, but even in the like US, there's so many examples of comedians that make such good, serious actors. You know, Robin Williams was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I tell you how struggles were. Kevin Hart, I think. It's hard not to see Kevin Hart.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, and usually I'd have like an honest head of me going, oh, they're actually playing a serious guy. It's hard with him.
Yeah.
I find it hard to see him as funny.
Yeah, but I think like it's not comedy subjective. But yeah. Like, but for like Kevin Hart, I don't even think it's subjective. I think if you don't find it funny, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I think, do you get me? Because I don't think, like, you see some people that get, like, boosted by the media. Mm. Even see with footballers, you see in all lines of work, and people could probably think that about Kevin Hart, but I think he's amazing.
I think he's burnt out. That's
possibly that.
That's what it was.
I
and
get that.
He's doing the same bit in every film. Mm. No. And then you fucking, and then you go to this, and then you talk like that. And they're like, all right, mate, you've done this in your last three films. Can you not just change it slightly?
I know, it's...
I'm that broke down. Yeah.
There's an audience for it. There's an audience for it. Yeah. That's, I think that's the thing with maybe comedy, that you can be a bit put into that box. It's harder to get out of, but... Jesus, I'm doing a play. We did a play in Edinburgh Fringe last year that we're bringing out to London for 3 weeks in May. Which is fun. It's a dark comedy about incels, and then I'm a character in it. And I have a part now where I get to cry on stage, which is great. Because it's something different, like it's more serious. And,
are you really
crying? Yeah, yeah.
Can you cry on cue?
Well, see, that's the thing. It's kind of like in that scene, it's about like, I don't know if this is the right technique to use, but I'll try and relate it to something in my real life.
Yeah.
And I think I've read somewhere that that's really can cause, you know, damage, maybe lasting emotional damage. I'm like, all right, I'll deal with that later. But
it doesn't sound like the most.
Doesn't sound like, but then I'm like, how would you? Like, I don't know how I could cry unless I feel an emotion.
Sad, yeah.
You have to make yourself sad, man.
Yeah, like, you do.
If you want to cry, like.
It's therapeutic, maybe. I don't know. But
it actually is meant to be good for crying, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think reliving probably some sort of trauma in your life.
That's, I think, the, yeah. You just,
depending on how you're supposed to cry.
If you don't, I know.
Just get a new trauma.
Make up one.
Yeah. Something else has to happen. But yeah, so you're saying you're looking forward to doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something different. And again, like incels, it's a wild thing that the director kind of researched. I had not known how dark so much of it is in that world.
Do you know what an incel is?
No.
It's the involuntary celibate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's these fucking people that live online.
Mm.
You know, like these, like, people that never off the internet, never off Twitter, and they're just on everything. Like, I mean, on top of every topic or article or whatever breaks in the news, they're just on it. And they have an opinion on everything. You're like, Jesus Christ, me. Do you know when you're looking like, get out of your man's box room? That's an incel.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but it's kind of, well, part of it, I don't know if the... I haven't done the full extent of research compared to the writer, but there's an area within that that it's like they blame women for why they can't get sex. Is also one area that an incel can go into, kind of, where they just then take that out online on women.
Yeah, Zach Compton and all, you have no tits, still have
yes, exactly. Yeah. Still, oh my God, get it together. But yeah, so it was kind of an interesting one to take on as well, because it was like, I know a bit of that side of the internet from getting that kind of comments and stuff. And it was just something different to do. But when we did it in the Fringe in Edinburgh, like, it was wild because people were coming up to you like, oh, Jesus, it's an Irish comedy. We'd love to go to that. Like, elderly 6-year-old women. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't know if this will be for you. And then they come to it and they loved it, which was wild because, like, there's a lot of dark language and stuff in it as well. But it was a harder sell than saying, that's a stand-up show, you know. So it was because people would be coming up being like, Irish comedy. Oh, I love Father Ted. And I'm like, well, this is not going to be like Father Ted. But I'd love to do more stuff like that.
That's the question I wanted to ask you as a singer before that, because I asked Shane Todd something similar, or maybe the same thing, I don't know, last week. What would you prefer, acting or stand-up?
I think, for me, comedy act, like, as in writing your own sketches and getting to, like, the series we did with their series 2 in Orius, and that was the dream, like, and working with the lads, and we're all such good friends, and it was just brilliant to get to do that. That kind of thing, I think because I've done it since I was 11, yeah, I feel far more comfortable doing that.
Right.
The variety style shows that Tony Cantwell does put on and involve a lot of comedians, I adore that. If I could pick any kind of a show to do, it would be that, because it's just, again, getting to do a show with all your mates.
Yeah.
The only thing about stand-up sometimes when I'm doing it on my own, like, if you're going down, like, you could be doing a venue down the country and then you're there on your own for the night, I find that quite lonely. And there can be some aspects, I know we were talking about it earlier, but there's been a few times where I've had... safety concerns because of comments and things that I've received, and like people know my location, that aspect of stand-up makes it a bit sometimes a bit tricky, that I get a bit paranoid being places on my own. But if I could, yeah, between the two, I think I just will always have, because I've done it since I was so young, this love of like getting to properly shoot and film a lovely little comedy piece and act as well, because I've done it longer.
That's what I was going to say. Does it have to be comedy with you?
No,
your head, do you see yourself going down that route and only being comedy?
No. I'd love to do more serious things, but I genuinely just think there is the unfortunate thing that you're known for doing comedy. It's harder to break out of that.
Yeah.
And because I never did an acting course. So like, you know, there's examples there, like Florence Pugh, never classically trained. Love that for her. So inspiring. But I just think in Ireland, there's probably more opportunities if you have actually been, you know, trained in acting and done it. But I don't have that.
I think you're probably building a big enough profile that you might get enough credit in the bank now to shoot your shot.
Yeah, well, like, the thing is, I wouldn't like profile nearly to be, I'd like to be considered because they've seen a performance and think.
Yeah, of course.
Because sometimes I think that can become a disservice both ways to, like, you see sometimes maybe people try and involve someone because they have a big profile and they're maybe not right for the part, but also they don't have the experience. So then both kind of suffer as a result of the production and the person, because they're like, oh, I was put in something that I shouldn't have been in. And I know definitely my career, I've been offered things that I'm so glad in hindsight that I didn't do, because I was like, I would not have been ready for that. I wouldn't have had enough experience. I wasn't confident enough. I wouldn't, you know, when you look back now, at the time I was like, Jesus, I wish I could have got that thing. And in hindsight now, I'm like, thank Jesus I didn't get that. It would have been, you know, the ruinings of me.
Yeah.
So I'd love to build up more experience from doing, like, say, the series that we've done, doing the stage piece, doing more bits that I'd feel more confident auditioning for pieces and saying, well, it's not just that you know who I am from maybe you've seen online stuff, but that I have a work that I've done that shows you I can act and give a performance that maybe suits this.
Of course.
That'd be cool.
Oh, I have another singer. Yeah.
Oh, do you have to pee again? Oh my God.
I drank so much water today just doing it. Did you? I drink it every week. I deal with this now. I'm a prick. I'll just hold it.
Yeah.
But I'm a prick, like. And I have a hernia, like, and it hurts when I don't go. Do you get me?
That's not good, man. No.
It's the first time you've ever mentioned the hernia.
Shite.
Like, going to the toilet.
Oh, sorry.
Going to the toilet.
No, but that's why I do go every week, like, if you don't.
Right.
Because, like, I reckon if I was a normal person, if I didn't have a hernia, I wouldn't have to go. But, like, what was I on about if I'm a normal person?
No, but, like.
Do you feel sorry for me now?
No, but are you getting it sorted? Are you going to have something done, like, surgery-wise, or?
This is a long story, just.
Oh, okay.
Don't have enough time.
Do you want the singer or do you want to?
Are you a Liverpool fan, by the way?
I support Liverpool, yeah.
I love that.
That's a nice Guinness jersey, by the way.
Oh, Guinness. Beautiful. That's a nice one. Sorry.
Right, you still have to answer this one.
Okay. It was two.
Yeah, I don't have to answer because I'm at the reading it.
I hope it's not a quiz.
What would you use to put on people's foreheads for a non-religious version of Ash Wednesday?
Mustard.
What? Okay, so what substance would you use?
Mm.
What substance would you use?
Like anything. On the forehead.
Mustard. The bang mustard off you for the day, though. That's going to stink.
Well, I don't have to do it, do I?
Like, this is what people get in the forehead now instead of ashes.
Oh, a bit of glitter would be cool.
Would it, yeah?
That'd be cool.
Chill, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Really? And you'll pick a mustard.
I was looking to, like, sting people a little bit, you get me?
Yeah. You're like leave a mark, like a tattoo.
Yeah.
If you're
serious
about this, we're going all in. You want it permanent? All right. Show me how much you actually want this. You know, I don't know if I could do that. I'm bad at making decisions. That's why I have never gotten a tattoo, because I just know I'd end up regretting it.
So you have no tattoos?
No.
Oh, I have two tattoos and I hate both of them.
This is my worst fear in real life.
But I made both decisions on 5 minutes' notice. So I'm very impulsive.
Yeah, I'd be the same.
Yeah.
And I've managed to stop myself with
just
a tattoo.
Just stay away from tattoos.
But do you not, even if you dislike them, is there not like a lovely story as to how it happened? Like
that in the podcast logo.
Okay. But I don't know, I like that. Especially like loyalty to it, yeah. And why do you regret that one?
Just because I was there and I was like, do you want the tattoo? And I was like, come on, put talking bollocks on me leg. Do you get me? Why would you do that?
I know that. Did you get one as well, though?
No, we didn't.
No. The only thing, the other reason, which is so, why does my head even go there? I'd be worried to get a tattoo because it identifies you. As in, not that I intend to do anything. No, but imagine you end up in some scenario and then they're like, we're looking for the woman with the Joe Dolan tattoo on her leg. I'm like, well, that's me. That's me.
Joe Dolan. And would you be like, oh me, oh my, it was me?
Yeah. What could I do? But that's, but I think the regret aspect, I just end
up. You don't know who Joe Dolan is. You would have found that joke much, wouldn't you?
He's singing that now?
Yeah.
Yay!
What song does he sing?
I don't know that part now.
Good looking woman. Oh me, oh my, you make this man. You know?
Is that him?
Yeah.
Voila.
I feel like he has.
I'd get a tattoo of him myself. Not bad.
Is he still kicking?
No, he's no longer with us.
Is he not?
All right.
I think he deserves a tattoo then.
Yeah.
See the respect.
Yeah.
The respect. He's no longer here.
Yeah.
She blessed herself and all. He's no longer here with us. Yeah. Respect, Joe. Down
you definitely have a picture of him in your mask, Kev.
Oh, my mother has mullet.
Yeah.
My mother was obsessed. That's where my obsession came from.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was two tapes growing up in the car. There was Joe Dolan or the Dubliners. My dad listened to the Dubliners and then Joe Dolan. So it's a nice basis.
As well.
Nice, yeah.
And then you were Westlife.
I was into Westlife.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't listened to them in years. And then randomly today, their greatest hits just came on my Spotify. I was like, I'll listen to the whole thing again. I was like, oh, memories.
They're little, aren't they?
Oh, class.
We had Brian McFadden on this.
No way.
Yeah.
Him and Keith Duffy.
At the same
time. Ah, because that's lovely. Yeah.
They have boys' life.
Yeah. That's a lovely duo.
Scissors, Terrence. Boy, like, yeah. Boys' life. Scissors.
That was a bit.
Boy, like.
Yeah, no, I meant they came together.
Terrence just made a scissors gesture with his two hands and put them together. Like,
they came boy. Together.
That's a gesture.
Oh, dude, look at you. You can suggest whatever you think is.
And at one point, I was like, it's a bad name, is where I was going.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, Justine. Like, you have to be, yeah. If you remember better name than Boy's Life.
No, well, I see what they're working with here. They've taken one part of both of their band names and smudged them together. Great.
Yeah.
What was the alternative? West Zone.
You can't.
West Zone, yeah.
That sounds like a car park.
Yeah.
Valid point.
Yeah.
Boy's Life sounds like fucking.
You start a band at their age and then you call it Boy's Life.
Yeah.
Just call it anyone. Just start fresh.
Did you say that to them?
No. Okay. Yeah.
We did.
No, we did. Yeah. Sorry.
We did.
And were they in for it? No.
No.
No, no. Don't mind that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Let's do this though. You know the tweet.
Oh, do I know the tweet? Did you ask about
that? Yeah, so we were like, is this going to be the best buzz? I could not wait to hear his answer. But like, hit him with the ISIS thing at the end and we're like, right, laugh all of us together. He snapped.
No
he snapped. I was delighted. He asked it and the whole room went, so he just started looking at the floor. It was bad.
I think I have beef with him and he doesn't realise I have beef with him over there.
Well, naturally, yeah. I wouldn't blame you.
I was like, see you.
I thought he would have found the funny side. No, Justin, no. Like, we've all said mad. Like, I know, like, people are going to pull me and be like, Banshee Bones and all that. This. I'm going to get it. And I laugh at them. Like, calling out ISIS to come out and fight with your bare hands.
I know, man to man.
Man to man as well, yeah. Imagine that.
You have to look back at
right, Akmar, you go up there now. Brian, you go up there now and we'll stand there.
There's a lot to take in. Would it have been one-on-one? Or was he considering the whole organisation here? Like, because he's going to be out number there and he was very brave.
And was I going to be an adjudicator there to make sure it was a fair go? No one was jumping in.
This is the thing. Are both men,
if it goes to the ground, is someone going to stand them back up? No dirty boxing.
This is the questions that should have been asked, but you didn't.
We wanted that.
No, you didn't get
shut it down. And John made it worse. He was like, what we?
Nah.
Like,
but then.
Ah, stop.
But he said something about.
And then he was like, what do you not agree with fucking killing kids and this, that? And I was like, all right, bro, it's not that deep, mate. Like, we know.
Sent us all shower. I haven't listened to Westlife since, and I was the biggest fan.
Keith Duffy couldn't have been sounder.
And very beautiful looking.
Oh, stop.
Very handsome.
There's a man who knows the soaps. He was in
Coronation Street.
Yeah. Just dipped in and out. I was in a film with him.
Was he in Cardi?
Yeah.
Can I tell you what? They were all in the old soaps, weren't they?
He's dead right. I was in a
you
film.
You could be made in that, I'd say.
Was that?
Oh, yeah. I'd say so.
You got a good character.
Yeah.
Someone who has to be like, owns a shop. So, you know, they can't just go missing because, like, who's going to open the shop that day?
Yeah, you need a
you
bit
know,
of, yeah.
That's a money maker. That's a cash cow for you.
Yeah, you're not killing me off, too.
No.
Who's going to run the shop?
Yeah.
You know?
We didn't even get into that world. But we'd have known that. We'd have spent 10 minutes on
it. Talk about Thailand.
Yeah. No, off camera, wasn't it?
Think so. The fella come in. The two of them were hung over. And I was like, this is going to be poxy. It's going to be like pulling teeth out of him. And Keith just sat down. He had sunglasses on for the whole thing. So I was like,
no way.
Here we go. And he just switched on then. And he just ran. And I was like, this is lethal.
He was lethal.
Class.
Was this before or after the Boys Own Doc came out?
Just before.
Ah, shite.
Just before.
Because that would have been cool to have seen that to then. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Sad.
It's very sad.
Very sad.
Very sad. And I was not a Boys Own fan because it was Westlife that I heard. Mm. And Boys Own were a bit before my time, our time, really. Like, I think I was, I was too young to know them. But Jesus, my heart, bro.
Mm. Sad. You should watch it. It's only bleeding.
Three episodes, isn't it?
Something like that. Yeah, but like, you'd bash it out in an hour or two, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gotta go cry out now.
But anyways, Keith up his sound. How are we even... We're spending about 20 minutes talking about this.
I don't think we got anywhere here.
How did we get here?
It's all.
It was you. You were trying to get the juice out of us.
You.
No, yeah. With everything.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter what we've asked. Just Dan's went, yeah, I'm going this way. And I'm here for it. I love when a guest does what you're at the doing today.
Really?
I know nothing about you.
Yeah, because that was my fear. Like, as because I went up to Shane Todd's.
She has no tattoos.
She's from Knobbot. She lives near Muffsville.
Muffsville.
What was it?
Muffsville. I don't know.
Muff Crescent.
Muff Crescent, sorry.
Book up, Muff Crescent.
Yeah.
That's all I know about you, and I've had a blast here today.
Oh, that means so much. Thank you. Because when I went up to Shane Todd, he was like, you're from Dublin, aren't you? I was like, no, I'm from Meath. He was like, oh, I think I said you were from Dublin at the start of the podcast. I was like, I love the research. And I was like, I love that you think my accent is Dublin. I'll take it because I'm trying to be enunciating.
Yeah. And no matter the way everyone from the north thinks, we all sound the same. Like, what the fuck are you on about?
I know. It's crazy. And it's like, like even in Meath, there's such a variety of accents. Like if you go 10 minutes up the road from me, there's a lot of people that would sound like, they're more closer to Dublin.
Would we not think the same about them, like Belfast and Donegal, I'm sure.
I feel like I can tell the difference between Donegal and Belfast.
Yeah.
But like Belfast and Derry, I wouldn't.
That's the thing.
With Donegal, it's like, you're back in the Republic now, I can hear it in you.
Yeah.
I think I can.
Yeah. There's a bit more joy in you.
Yeah. Terrence looking at me there because you're checking for the VAR check on that one, aren't you? It's a bit political, that. Yeah. Technically, the other
I've been looking at a lot of bleeding history and all
geopolitics up the north, the troubles and what have you.
Say nothing.
I did. It's the best show I've ever watched.
Phenomenal.
And now I'm fully addicted. That happens to me.
Oh, I get the exact same. I get so like into something then off the back of that and research in depth. But there was so much I learned of that I did not know, and it was really eye opening how oblivious I was. Really. Yeah.
You know what the Ra and all is, but it's like whatever. Then I watched that and I was like, I am all in.
Yeah. But what I do, because where I'm from at home, you're about half an hour from Dundalk and the border. So a lot of the stories, there'd be locals who would remember all this that happened and the drives down through the, so it was also locally that aspect to it as well. I was like, Jesus, there's so much that I didn't know.
It was amazing.
Class.
So that's why we went.
And the mustaches, unrelated to anything here, but the mustaches were phenomenal.
Different times.
Oh, they were gorgeous now.
Different times.
Yeah, they were like Anthony Boyle. My lord, it suits him.
Well, just saying.
That was how you really feel.
November must be a great time of the year for you, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Just saying, if you aren't the plug.
I'll be doing that show now. It's in May. The 12th of May, I think, until the 1st of June, will be in Pleasance Theatre in London. So you can look up. It hasn't been announced. It's been announced this week. And I'll have the dates and all sure on my socials and you'll find me there. And we're doing our live show, which is sold out. But look it.
There you go.
The live show, it's sold out in Bewley's Theatre, but we'll be announcing a lovely podcast live show, second date, due to popular demand.
Yeah.
There you are now.
We're at the end. Just thanks very much for coming in.
Lads, thank you very much for having me.
It's been I don't even know. What has it been? Phil Mitchell and Banshee Bounds.
You've got no fans.
Yeah.
Jerry Adams. Rader,
Joe Dolan.
Yeah. Joe Dolan.
Yeah. Had it all.
Brian McFadden.
Azealia Banks.
Is he?
Yeah. Covered a lot, lads.
I'm going to follow her now and she doesn't follow me back. Fuck her. I'm not even going to text her.
I'd say don't be now too shocked if she doesn't.
Yeah.
Why is she big like that? Oh, he's Irish.
Yeah, that as well.
Yeah.
What's she being up to though?
Starting beef with a lot of people online.
Many monthly listens to reckon she has on Spotify.
I know the answer.
Is this your other skill? This is incredible.
If I get this.
Okay, right. How many listens monthly on Spotify?
I know it.
21 million.
You are very generous. To Azealia Banks.
I know.
Mrs. 212. 212. You think it's
1.7 million. Yeah, that's far more.
Do you know what, Harry? You're not a million miles away.
3.7. Yeah.
I was miles away. I was 2 million away.
Many streams you reckon 212 has?
Now the answer.
That has to be all of them.
645 million.
No, you're being very generous as well. 295.
295. Jesus.
295 is a lot though. Quarter of a billion over.
Yeah, but like,
bro, that's big.
I feel like, it doesn't matter. We'll wrap this up. I'm not going through this. Right, Justine, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And before we wrap up, a big shout out to our sponsor, FBT.
When we started this podcast, I think we thought it would only be people from the inner city who'd listen.
I know, and now we have listeners all over the place, even as far as Talla.
Sorry to hear.
So this is a message to everyone in Talla. FBT Gym have opened up their new state-of-the-art location now, offering not only top-of-the-line equipment, but also resources, classes, and events that will help you build connection among members and an overall support of the fitness community.
And if you're lucky enough not to live in Talla, why not join one of their other locations in Swords, Coolock, or Drogheda?
Do these locations have the classes and supportive community as well?
Of course. That's what FBT Gyms are all about. They also offer personal training, heated chamber classes, and a HYROX affiliated.
Unleash your potential at FBT Gym for only €44 a month with no contract, full class access, and locations in Swords, Coolock, Drogheda, and now Talla.
Sign up at fbtgyms.ie today. We'll wrap this one up. Take us out, Siobhan. Boom.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.